Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy. Brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit us at www.jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
It is Wednesday, the 13th of March, 2024. Good morning to you. It is such a pleasure being here with you for yet another episode of Health Vibes, your very own talk show brought to you by the brand you trust the most, Jolly's Pharmacy. I'm your host, Carlton Lando, with my beautiful co-host,
Trudy Christian, here on board with you, Carlton. Good morning to you. Good morning, of course, to our listeners of Q95 FM Radio and of Health Vibes, always tuned in. Good morning to you.
Trudy, I suspect you're becoming a huge celebrity lately. You know, from Calypso season to everybody wants to know your story.
Carlton, it's Women's History Month, and of course, March 8th was International Women's Day. So, you know, in light of that, I have been doing some things. It's a good time to celebrate women and to listen to what women have contributed, and you know, I've been doing that, but a quiet time will come soon, don't worry. Quiet time will come soon.
Well, we are happy that you've joined us for today's episode. We are going to have a very interesting topic today. Guess what? Trust me, you are going to learn a lot about that particular organ of the body. We're going to function on a particular organ today, and you are going to be amazed as to the functions and why this organ is so critical in terms of our sustainability and our wellness. But even before we get into that discussion, let me say as well, just to remind you of the National 5K Run. This is happening on April 27th. That run is to raise awareness and to stand in solidarity with people who are affected by these two medical conditions, diabetes and sickle cell anemia. We are anticipating the largest crowd ever. It's our fifth edition, and we are starting that run or walk. You can walk, you can run, you can jog, whichever you choose to do. Or if you feel like you cannot do either, maybe you may want to make a contribution of $25, which is a registration fee. And that fee will go towards the cause that you are running for. Again, all registrations are open. You can register at any of our branches, including Portsmouth. So you could do it at Portsmouth, at the Megastore, at the Great George Street, at the King George Street branches. Any of these branches, you can do that. You pay a minimum of $25. If you are running for diabetes, you wear blue. If you are running for sickle cell anemia, you wear burgundy or red. If you choose to run or decide you want to sponsor the two, you can wear blue top
and red and burgundy bottom. Mix it up.
You know, you can mix it up. It's your choice. The more money that we raise is the more money that these organizations are going to receive at our prize giving ceremony. So that is happening, the National 5K Run. It is our fifth edition. It's on April 27th. The route is, we are running from the Massa Kenfield Government School onto the Eole Blanc Highway, on through Pottersville, up to Federation Drive, and into Lindo Park. So we're not taking shortcuts. We're not going through the Charles Avenue, I think, that by the 8 Bank up there. We're not going that way. We're not going by the St. Alphonsus Church way. We're going straight. The police will be escorting us, and we will be able to raise the awareness and funds for the Dominica Diabetes Association and Sickle Cell Care Foundation of Dominica.
Carlton, and they cannot say you did not warn them not to take a shortcut. You've been saying that from the start, so the listeners know they need to do the full route.
The full route.
Walk, run, crawl.
Yes.
The full
you
route.
You need to walk with water that will be provided to you. Uh-huh. And we just want you to be part of that.
Yes.
Really part of that. Now, those of you who may not know, you can now purchase gift certificates or gift vouchers online. So you can, if you are in Taiwan, you are in London, you are in Japan, and you want to buy, let us say your mommy's had a stroke, and you cannot come down to Dominica ASAP, but your sister calls and say, mommy may need a wheelchair. Jollies do sell wheelchair, and you can actually purchase that wheelchair online.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're giving you that opportunity. The same way you can shop online, you can buy a gift certificate online. So you may mm-hmm. want to give a loved one a gift certificate. You know, Jollies have a wide variety of products, as we've always said. We are more than a drugstore. And so you can buy that gift certificate online, and that person can just come. They will get that number, and they can do their shopping. So again, it's an innovative and smart, very efficient way of shopping right now.
So CarltonJollies.dm, the site?
Yes.
You can go on Jollies.dm.
And they will have access to...
to purchase the gift certificate.
Yes.
It's a very useful gift.
Yes.
If you're looking for a gift for me, I want a Jollies gift certificate.
And not forgetting that we sell the best perfumes in Dominica.
Oh, yes.
The best smells. I think I came into that studio this morning and I bombarded in there.
Yes, yes.
And I bombarded in the studio this morning wearing my secret... That's the name of my deodorant, of my
fragrance.
Cologne. Yes,
and Carlton, there's the Yara that I need to get myself. Yeah. So you see, I'm promoting.
You bought one. You black. You purchased one from us.
Yeah,
awesome. Right. So our producer even have endorsed that he gets the best prizes for perfumes. The Easter period is coming. Then after you have Mother's Day, so for all of your perfumes and colognes, choose Jollies Pharmacy. And you can also purchase these online as well, mm-hmm. which is Jollies, JOLLYS.DM. Jollies.DM. And you can make all of your purchases as of now. If you reside overseas, our carrier of choice is DHL, and that product will be at your doorstep in at least 3 to 4 days. So it doesn't matter what part of the world you are, you will get that product ASAP coming from Dominica. The Easter break is around the corner, and this year we are having an exciting Easter egg hunt, and that is happening on the 30th of March.
Yes.
On the 30th of March, and that 30th is a Saturday.
Saturday the 30th of March.
And so this is happening at 2 locations.
Mm-hmm.
Location 1 at the Mega Store in Fokole. Location 2 at JP North, as I call it, Jollies Pharmacy North, the branch in Portsmouth. And so all we are looking for is at least 10 wonderful, fawn-liking or fawn-seeking, adventurous, inquisitive, friendly children. But these children must be between the ages of 8 to 10. So we want them to be responsible enough to be able to run around, don't get lost, know the ins and outs, their little rules that they will be informed of, and they will be searching through the aisles for the Easter eggs.
Mm.
That is happening at 11 a.m. on the 30th of March. That is the last Saturday in the month of March. Again, it's happening at the Mega Store in Fokole and at JP North in Portsmouth. And guess what? Children are eligible to win up to $75 in gift certificates. And so can you imagine, you just come, you run around, you look,
and you win 75.
You get some eggs, some Easter eggs, and here it is that you can shop with $75. You can buy your deodorants, you can buy your lotion. My daughter is into skin products, so she would run and buy these things with that money.
A lot of nice stationery items at the branch. Yeah, right.
And the Basic, which is our brand, it is very, very, very affordable.
Right.
So you can imagine the amount of, you know, school supplies that you can accumulate by just winning that $75.
So Carlton, the 10 children, do they need to be registered in advance for the Easter egg hunt, or they just come to the location?
The first 10 that arrive
come to the location.
Their names will be taken, and that's it. So without even registering people.
Okay.
Yeah. The first 10 at any of the location, that is the 30th of March, and that is happening. We're having the Easter egg hunt. And that is to celebrate Easter. We want children to have fun. School will be closed. And we just want you to be having fun with us at these two locations. We're looking at Portsmouth and also the megastore in
Fokole.
Nice.
Now,
Trudy, I want to just highlight something that's very sensitive but extremely relevant. And we know that many times people are afflicted or affected with different challenges in their lives. And oftentimes we are prejudicial, and we sometimes discriminate against them, and we feel like what they're doing is their own fault. Oh, that person just doesn't take care of themselves. Why that person doesn't know when enough is enough? And we're talking a little about alcohol abuse.
An addiction.
You know, yes. The term has been changed. We no longer call or term the people who abuse alcohol as alcoholics because of the stigma and discrimination that is often associated with it. So now it is said that you have an alcohol abuse disorder. Right? You have a disorder. And there are so many causes. Many people are not even aware that genetics plays a major part in the abuse of alcohol. Mental disorders.
That's big.
It's a big thing, because what if, for example, you lost a job that you really loved? You lost a loved one, whether through a divorce or separation or death.
Right.
Right? So life trauma sometimes can affect us in such a way that it almost buries us or throws us down, and we can almost lose ourselves in the pain that people don't see. So you will be looking at this person and saying, oh, that person doesn't drink rum, he don't saying that he had enough, and look at him falling in the drain. And we pass that person and we castigate, you know, and say terrible things about them. But what if that person is really drowning in sorrow, in emotional pain, in past abuses that could have triggered what is happening to them? If you are someone like this, as I've characterized, if you are hurting and you find yourself abusing alcohol, we have good news for you. And I say that with a smile, with empathy, because I want you to be better. We have great news for you. There is a wonderful support group that has been created to help you recover from this abuse. And it is an AA group that was newly formed, and they meet every Thursday, and that is every Thursday afternoon between the hours of 5 and 6 p.m. at the St. Mary's Academy. So it's a quite centralized area, but at the same time, it's still private. So the group meets every Thursday between the hours of 5 and 6 p.m. for 1 hour, and they meet at room 103. Room 103. They don't need to know about your status. You have no money to pay. It is free of charge. Mm-hmm. All we want you to do is to take that leap of faith. If you feel that you cannot go alone, you can bring along a loved one mm-hmm. to assist you and to support you.
Carlton, so and this is where, you know, you're speaking to the public and to people who might have an alcohol abuse disorder, but you also are speaking to the loved ones, the family, the friends of people who sure. may be afflicted and who may see the need for this person to seek this support. And it's a difficult conversation to have with mm-hmm. someone. I mean, I sometimes we maybe need to understand how to start it. It's a conversation I maybe don't need know how to start myself, mm-hmm. but it's a conversation that sometimes needs to be had with a person to intervene for them and ask them to get some help. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity is there. You've mentioned the date of meeting, a Thursday, mm-hmm. 5 to 6, SMA, a loved one, yes. a loved one can suggest, you know, nicely, calmly, and let somebody know that there is an option for them to get some support and some assistance if they have that mm-hmm. Alcohol abuse disorder. I think that's very important. So it's not just, we don't exclude the loved ones because they can play a role in getting that person to get support.
Definitely. And so if you know someone, or if you're listening and you have a loved one and you may want to get that help, I can guarantee you it's going to be very supportive, because mm. everybody in the room are generally people who are afflicted or affected by the disorder. And so one can help the other. It's like a body, a big body helping another body, mm. that type of thing. And the aim is to remain sober. Mm-hmm. If you feel that you might be retreating or regressing, you can always call a member of the group to meet you at some place mm. and where they can support you. And so we're excited. I know one member, somebody who is very much involved in this, and she is extremely passionate about this initiative. And I can tell you, the buzz is in the air. We want you to be a part of the AA group. And that is Alcoholic Anonymous Group. Yeah. And so we are here for you. They're there for you. And it's a group that's, again, they meet every Thursday between the hours of 5 to 6 p.m. at the St. Mary's Academy. And it's at room 103. If you need information, feel free to call me at 448-3388, Jolly's Pharmacy, 448-3388. And I will give you all of the information that I have just narrated as it relates to the newly formed, or I should say revamped, AA group here nice. In Roseau.
I'm happy to hear about
definitely.
It.
Mm-hmm. We are going to take a break, and then we are going to discuss the kidneys this morning, as tomorrow is World Kidney Day. And so we are going to be focusing on this vital organ, the kidneys. Feel free. We want you to stay on to listen to the information as we make it available to you. Stay tuned.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defoe and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
In
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy. Brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at Jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit us at www.jollys.dm. Jollys Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan-Defoe and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Vibes every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at Jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit us at www.jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare. Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at Jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit us at www.jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Who say health?
It is March 13th, but tomorrow, March 14th, is World Kidney Day. And so we've decided here to discuss the kidney and the health of the kidney, why it is so important to take care of this very special organ. Carlton, when I teach, I teach biology, sometimes, not sometimes, but you go over all the organ systems. And one of the questions I like to ask when I start teaching about the kidneys is, where do you think the kidneys are located? And Carlton, do you know the majority of people cannot say where the kidneys are? So before we even, you know, before we even start talking about the health of the kidneys, I mean, I feel it is so important to just kind of put in context, where are the kidneys located? I don't know if anybody listening is able to feel confident to answer this question, to tell me, if you had to tell someone where your kidneys are, what would you say? Where would you point to? I ask students sometimes, point to where the kidneys are. You would notice they are pointing to a place where the kidneys are not. But I don't know if any of our listeners, are brave enough to let us know where the kidneys are before we delve into the kidneys. But Carlton, we do have two kidneys.
Right, that's it.
We have two kidneys, a pair. Yes.
I hope they notice in your plural.
Yes, plural. We have two kidneys. I think most people are aware of the shape. They look like a kidney bean.
Yes.
So you have two kidney bean shaped organs. But the location, I want somebody to tell us that. But Carlton, the kidneys are so important. A lot of times people talk about having to do detox, for instance, and cleanses, but the kidneys are our body's filtration system, our body's cleansing system, and they are part of what we call the excretory system, and the kidneys filter our blood every single day. And it's very interesting how much work those two organs are doing. I'm seeing somebody is calling, so maybe somebody wants to tell us about the location of the kidneys.
Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Carlton and Tudy.
Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
I guess I'm doing fine.
Yes.
In everything I'm looking at, all the pictures I'm looking at, I see the kidneys located on the lower part of your right and your left back.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Very, very good.
Very good.
Very
thank
good.
You. Thank yes. you very much. I score 100.
Top student.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a blessing. Bye-bye.
Okay, too. Thanks.
Thank you.
So, yeah, so she's so correct. On either side of our spine, mm-hmm. below our rib cage, our lower back, that's where the kidneys are. We have a right kidney, a left kidney on either side of the spine, lower back. And a very interesting thing I just want to mention before we even continue, the kidneys are the only organs that are suspended with no supporting bone structure to enclose them. So they're so interesting that if there's something called kidney punching in boxing, for instance, a practice that has been banned, because if somebody gets a good blow to the lower back, mm-hmm. the kidneys can actually drop. Mm-hmm. So the kidneys are suspended. The leading from them are two tubes called the ureters. They lead to our bladder. And every day the kidneys filter in blood, producing something called urine. The urine is traveling through those two tubes called the ureters, going to the bladder, and they stored in the urine stored in the bladder, and then of course we release that urine. But yeah, the kidneys are very interesting organs, and Carlton, I cannot wait for you to let us know about taking care of those kidneys and how to optimize the health of the kidneys. I'm happy. Happy Blue Blue got the location. So now we can talk about the cure.
Definitely. And again, it's, you know, many times, you know, we are made up of many organs in the body. And we often miss the function of the organ when we have a problem. Mm-hmm. Then we realize, oh my God, how comes I care of PP, right? I try to care of P. And then you realize, oh, maybe my bladder, maybe my kidney or something. But all the time, you know, you're moving around, these organs are working and nobody pay any notice. It's mm-hmm. like if your heart just stopped beating for a second, you get so terrified wondering what's happening.
Right.
But it's beating all along and none of us are cognizant or aware or paying attention to that. So it is important that we begin to pay attention to our vital organs, whether it's the heart, the liver, the lungs, the kidneys, you know, your skeletal muscular system, the skin, you pay attention to these organs. Yes, you may not be able to see them with the naked eye as to what's happening inside, but by doing regular blood tests and radiological procedures, you can at least know about the health and wellness of these organs. But today we're focusing on the kidneys, and as we said, it's a pair.
Mm-hmm.
However, all of the organs that appeared, you can live with one.
Right.
God made us so unique. Any organ, you can live with one eye, right? Mm-hmm. You can live with one nostril, one hole in the nostril. In the nose, right? You can live with one lung.
Mm-hmm.
You can live with one kidney. And so he had a purpose for that. And so we're talking about the kidneys, and we're saying that, as Trudy said, one of the key functions of the kidney is to filter waste products. And when I look at the body, I look at the body as a machine. I look mm-hmm. at my digestive system as the suck away of my body. I looking at and you know, in when you're making your suck away, I'm not a construction, but you have one for the waste and one for the water, the two areas. And you think of your body as that, right? The colon deals with the stool and all of that. And then the bladder and kidneys deal with the liquid part of the waste. So when in our blood, there are many microorganisms, there are all types of things that are there, and they need to be filtered off. They need to be filtered off, and the kidney plays a very vital role in filtering the waste product, including excess water, mm-hmm. removing excess water from the body and other impurities in our blood or from the blood. These waste products, they are then stored into your bladder and then they are later expelled through urine. So that liquid that comes out from the urethra you know, in years past, people would tell you, if you drink your urine, it can cure X, Y, Z. And medically, it is something that we do not recommend. In some cultures, they talk about that. But in the medical profession, it is it is discouraged merely because it's waste. The urine has many, many impurities in there, chemicals in there. Can you imagine that there is ammonia in your urine?
That's the, yes.
There is chlorine in your urine. There is sometimes glucose in your urine. So it's a lot of chemicals that are in the urine, and they are not good. That's why it's waste, right? The same way we would not eat our feces or stool, the same way we should not drink urine.
So urine is the excretory product of the body, chemical waste, waste that has been changed in the body in some way. Carlton, the major waste, urea, which is an ammonium byproduct from the breakdown of our proteins, and urea is a, you know, if accumulated, a toxic waste. So urea is the main component or the main aspect of urine. That's why that name, you know, is as it is. And urea needs to be removed from the body consistently. Our minerals in different quantities, if they're excessive, they will damage our body, so they need to be removed as well. So there are minerals in the urine, water, but the body is so interesting that of course it reserves water if you need it, and if there is excess water, it is removed in the urine. So if you have not been drinking a lot of water, you'd notice the different composition of the urine. The urine will be more concentrated, yellower, you know, but if you have been drinking a lot of water, you'd notice the urine is clearer and the urea level is a bit more diluted. But definitely not drinking urine, that is not something you should be doing. People talk about the smell of urine, Carlton, sometimes, you know, urine is supposed to be sterile, meaning no microbes in urine, but once it exits the body, it is a lovely place for microbes to grow. So once you urinate somewhere and urine is exposed, microbes flock to it and start to do their do. And that's when the smell starts to become a big problem. So, you know, people have a thing about stale urine. So it's because those microbes stay and they, you know, they respire multiply. And they multiply, and the smell starts to become extremely bad. But urine is supposed to be sterile unless you have an infection.
That's it. Right. In addition, the kidneys regulate your pH, your salt and potassium levels. So your electrolytes.
It helps those to minerals. Regulate that.
And the electrolyte levels are very important to transport what we call like electricity into the body. So it helps with the heart health. That's why if you have heart failure or you have, you know, a heart, they will take this defibrillator and they will shock you. So then you get this shock, you know, on your chest to sort of bring back current and so forth into your body. So the kidneys, they help with all of that. They help to produce hormones as well that regulate your blood pressure and control the production of red blood cells, as well. So that is why people who suffer with hypertension, that is elevated blood pressure that's abnormal, you are more likely to end up having kidney failure because of the elevation of the blood pressure can begin to destroy the blood vessels in the kidneys. The very same thing is applicable to that of diabetes. If you're diabetic and your sugar levels are not very well controlled, that too can also lead to kidney failure. And most people who do have kidney failure, they are more likely to have as well iron deficiency, anemia. So they are more likely to have anemia and even sometimes megaloblastic anemia, where blood in the bone marrow, the bone marrow is not producing enough red blood cells. To help to transport oxygen. So these are things that are very crucial, and we want people to be aware of that. But we have a caller. Let's take this caller. Oh, we have lost. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Carlton. Actually, a quick question. Is there anything about drinking too much water?
Yes.
Yes.
Kind of person, because let me just say, I went to the doctor recently. I'm not a person who likes drinking water because I hate going to the washroom ever so often. It is just, let me tell you what, I think I get in my knees and I have to do that very often. So I'm on a prescription for water. I have to drink 2 of the 1.5 daily. But I'm concerned if there is a thing whereby too much water in the body at one particular time. So that's what I'm asking.
Very interesting question. And, you know, recently I spoke about that on Health Pulse on DBS in the morning, because years ago we've been told, for years we've been told that we need to consume at least eight glasses of water. Mm-hmm. But the fundamental is that the body is practically 80% water. The blood, right?
70.
Mm-hmm. The blood is...
The blood plasma.
70% water. And our body basically has a lot of water in it. Now, there have been a big debate about that, because some literature, they're saying that our body will require the amount of water, will demand the amount of water that it requires. But at the same time, many of our organs require water to be able to function properly. So I am still of the view that we should at least be consuming 8 glasses of water per day. However, that is also influenced or affected by temperatures
and your activity level
and the activity
as well.
Levels as well. Mm-hmm. Because if it's very chilly, many of us don't drink. Because the body is not demanding that amount of water.
Yes, and because you're not losing, so you also lose water for sweat.
That's it.
So when it's cold, you're not losing the water for sweat, so you're retaining more water, so you might require less water to actually consume. But when it's very hot,
yes,
you're losing a lot of water through for sweating, so you need to be replenishing that water through drinking water. And if you're being very active, mm-hmm, you also sweat in a lot as well, and you're going to be losing. So it's all dependent really on the temperature, the activity level, you know, your general, your body composition and what you normally do.
And the nutrition as well.
Yes.
Because some foods
have water.
Yeah, or if you eat something salty, you are more likely going
to drink
more water
as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or even alcohol as well will cause you to want to drink more water
and become dehydrated.
That's
But the caller's question about if you can drink too much, you definitely can drink too much. There have been cases where somebody can essentially flood their cells. Mm-hmm. So if you drink too much water in a short space of time, the cells know what they're doing is they're taking in water for osmosis, and they can actually be taking too much, and those cells start popping, pop, 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 and you actually drown your own cells.
Yes.
So there have been cases of that. I don't know how you would have to feel to overdrink water, because to me, you feel
bloated.
But you feel, you know, satiated after you drink a certain amount. But I know of you know, medical occurrences where people actually overdrink water. Yeah.
Yeah. So the kidneys are also very much responsible for the activation of a form of vitamins D, that helps our body to absorb calcium, and which is very essential for bone health and for bone density levels. It also helps to regulate the muscle function. So you recognize there's so many functions that are associated with the kidneys, and hence the reason why we should care for that wonderful pair of organs that are seated to the back of our body, right on above the spine region and below the rib cage. We know that kidney failure remains one of the most pressing chronic non-communicable medical conditions that is affecting many people worldwide. We know that it is very costly. Getting the diagnosis, then having the fistula placed in, many of our people have had to travel to St. Lucia to have it done, because it may be done in the neck or in the forearm. We know that it takes a lot, because you may have to be dialyzed 2 to 3 times a week. Your quality of health is compromised. You're more susceptible to secondary infections. You're more susceptible to communicable infections, a lower immune system. You are more likely, may even get bodied off from your work according to where you're working. So there are many, many factors that are very much involved in kidney failure, and that's why we want to focus on this. But let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Carlton.
Good morning to you, miss.
How are you?
We're doing
morning,
quite well.
Morning.
Okay, you spoke about you can live with one kidney, but what I want to ask, wouldn't there be a strain on the one kidney? Knowing that all the functions it has to do, I'm just asking.
That is a good question, because once you have one kidney, the nephrologists or the doctors will begin to caution you about, you know, certain things. So, for example, foods that are very high in protein, they will tell you to eat less of that. Foods that are very high in potassium, they will tell you to don't consume plenty of that. They will tell you about alcohol abuse mm-hmm. and high levels of consumption of alcohol. They will tell you about starchy foods as well. You want to control. So even in terms of tailoring a nutritional guide for you, they will tell you about ways that you can take care of your kidneys and all of that. So yes, that's a very good question that you've asked, because you have one kidney and you want to do everything in your power to ensure that
healthy
it remains
and
healthy
safe, yeah,
and safe. So the doctor, the team will certainly guide you as to what you the health and wellness practices mm-hmm. that would help to sustain and maintain healthy kidneys. They will give you that information.
But Carlton, what I also want to say, once you know you follow those necessary protocols that you are guided to do by the doctor, one kidney is sufficient to
yes.
take care of the needs of mm-hmm. you know filtering the mm-hmm. blood, and you know I want to say that specifically, because I don't want people to think too that if you donate a kidney, for instance, because you know there is the possibility that a loved one may be a match mm-hmm. and you can donate a kidney to the loved one, you can still live a full healthy life mm-hmm. with your one kidney and donate a kidney to another person. So it's just about following the protocols you outline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had a sister who lived with 10 years with one kidney.
With one kidney.
Right? Mm-hmm. She was diagnosed with cancer at first. The cancer was localized on one kidney that was taken care of, and she lived 10 years, and practically 10 years after the cancer came back, and she succumbed. Mm-hmm. But she lived 10 years
with that one kidney.
That one kidney mm-hmm. and was quite fine. But let us talk about some of the practices that we can adhere to, that we all can engage in to ensure that our kidney health is maintained. One of the first requirements is to keep active and to remain fit. Why is that so essential? Mm-hmm. It is essential because obesity, overweight, is one of the risk factors mm-hmm. for kidney failure. And why so? Because if you're overweight, you are more likely to become hypertensive, you are more likely to become diabetic, you are more likely to have high cholesterol, you are more likely to accumulate plaque in your arteries, you are more likely to have fluid retention, right? And all of these are already factors that can exacerbate an early onset of kidney failure. And so by keeping fit and active will help to, one, manage and control your blood pressures, manage and control your glucose levels, manage and control your weight, manage and control the movement of fluid in the body. And so you are more and less likely to have fluid retention. And so it is important that, you know, we embark on walking, running, cycling, dancing, a bit of weightlifting, any type of exercise that is going to help to reduce our chances of developing high blood pressure, high glucose levels or diabetes, high cholesterol, what we call hypolipidemia, and the likes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and we will see that same advice for everything else,
yes.
Carlton. So, I mean, weight management, keeping active, keeping fit. Advice that I think maybe by now everybody knows mm-hmm. is proper advice, but difficult to maintain. I will admit, you know, with myself being someone struggling with weight management, it's difficult, mm-hmm. but it's advice medically that you will get throughout for the protection of all the organs,
yes.
and the kidneys now being no different.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Another one is to monitor your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And high blood pressure is becoming very, very rampant.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, high blood pressure was almost seen as an old people medical condition.
It's not anymore.
But it's not anymore. We're now getting people diagnosed in their teens.
Mm-hmm.
We have children who are being born, who are born with congenital conditions that involves uncontrolled blood pressure. You know, mm-hmm. you have children who were born with kidney problems from the congenital kidney failure and have to be placed on high blood pressure medicines. So we've seen cases like that, and we know of cases where young people are diagnosed with elevated blood pressure, and if left unchecked, we can see major complications occurring, such as heart disease, which could include enlargement of the heart, what we call cardiomegaly. And if your heart is too enlarged, you are more likely to have to suffer from a heart or to get a heart attack. Elevated cholesterol levels, you are more likely to have a stroke. And which is a cerebrovascular accident, particularly what we call a hemorrhagic stroke, where you could have bleeding in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is one of the strokes that is associated with uncontrolled elevation of blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we want you to remember that hypertension oftentimes shows no signs and no symptoms.
The silent killer.
It's a silent killer.
And Carlton, so this is why this discussion, I mean, we're talking about the kidneys, but of course, once again, relevant to so many other organs. But monitoring the blood pressure is key. I know a lot of times someone may be diagnosed with hypertension and figure, I'm already diagnosed as such and maybe taking medication, but not monitoring the trend in that blood pressure. And if you don't know what your numbers are normally in terms of your blood pressure, you cannot understand how to control it. If you existing for long periods of time with extremely high blood pressure, you know, readings, that is causing the destruction of those blood vessels and the destruction of the organs that you've mentioned, the kidneys being one. So I just, you know, as you're sticking a pin on that point, encourage people to monitor. So it's not just about knowing, oh, I'm hypertensive, or oh, I had a high blood pressure reading one time, but that passed, you know, or I don't have time to worry about that. Knowing that reading regularly, knowing how your body is behaving, even if you are on medication, is the blood pressure being
controlled?
Mm-hmm. That is very, very important.
And I should say too that, you know, there's a lot of debate, and there is a, you know, people might say about, oh, you can cure from these medical conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the science are indicating that hypertension is a lifestyle medical condition. And if you modify your lifestyle and really keep it as a lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
then definitely we can see major improvements
yeah.
in your blood pressure. But if you have this false sense of security that his doctors are just saying whatever they want, it's a little trace of my blood pressure,
trace,
just high
yes,
today.
Yes.
But you still do the same bad things. You smoke, you drink, you don't exercise, you eat the wrong foods, particularly foods that are laden with salt, you eat a lot of fatty foods, you don't exercise,
you have high
you
stress.
Get angry, yes, you get angry easily, you're not sleeping very well, your stress levels are high, then, of course, your blood pressure will not be regulated very well. So for those people who are saying, well, I cured my blood pressure, it didn't just happen like that. You made strict modifications to your diet, and you recognize that it actually changed your life, the way that you do things, the foods that you consumed. You now recognize you have to have adequate rest, how to control your moods, which includes your temper, how to mingle and agree and to disagree, all of these things. So it's a lifestyle vibes.
Yeah.
But at the same time too, I want to say too that if you've been diagnosed with high blood pressure, hypertension, and you've been prescribed medication, don't just stop take the medicine because you got a side effect. If you got a side effect from the medicine, there are many, many options of medicines that are available. Have that discussion with your healthcare provider. Mm-hmm. Let them know that when you did take that medicine, this is what it did to you. Don't stereotype that all medicines for high blood pressure are going to do the very same thing to you. That is not right, and that is totally incorrect and can be a bit ignorant. But rather think of, what if I am not on this medicine? What if I were to be home and get some terrible news and my blood pressure shoots up? I could fall down to the ground or the floor and die. Or get a massive stroke and cannot do nothing. I could be alive, but cannot do nothing for myself.
Totally incapacitated.
Or get a massive heart attack. Or get, an aneurysm where you a blood vessel ruptures in your brain and throws you down. So all of these are risk factors. These are complications that can occur. And we want you as well. If the blood pressures are not controlled regularly, it can damage blood vessels in the kidneys and can affect the normal functioning of the kidneys, whereby making it very difficult for it to be able to detoxify or remove toxins from the blood. And so therefore, you would have to be on an artificial detoxifier, the dialysis machine. We have a caller. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for your patience. Caller, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning to you.
Carlton and Julie, I think one thing in terms, even, and it doesn't, it holds even more for, it holds for high blood pressure and even diabetes. I think the idea that we've grown up on historically in terms of sugar and salt as these primary concepts of these things, I think we have to re-educate our people on that.
That's why we're broadening the discussion. I said that's why we are broadening the discussion.
Yeah, because it's way past that, you know? It's way past that. That worked when our parents were walking and people were keeping normal weight and people were, but we have to make human. You know, this is a machine. You know, it's a machine. It's just like your vehicle. You know, if that gas in there is dirty and you're trying to go, it's hard to work on the engine. Mm-hmm. And so all these oversized, you know, stomachs and these oversized, things. I mean, these are a big part of what is going on with this problem.
Definitely.
The heart is overworking just to pump basic stuff for these people, man. It's serious business. So to just think of salt and think, well, oh, I solved, you know, it's going to get worse.
Yes. Thank you very much, caller. Thank you so much. And again, we mentioned that from the beginning, obesity and overweight, you know, and many people, and we've had many shows about that, and we've spoken about how culture and even modernization has some way somehow influenced our lifestyles, whereby even some of the terminologies have changed. You seldom hear the word fat anymore. It's now a derogatory term, but people would now say that it's you're freak, which is a bit more an acceptable term that is used. But some way somehow it it may have made people a bit more comfortable and not do the necessary modifications to improve their general health and wellness. But again, too, not all obesity is caused by food. Some of it is caused by hormonal changes in the body and other underlying medical conditions. So yes, we might, the diet would be important to make changes or to have some audit done, but at the same time too, there has to be some investigations. But let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Yes, Carlton and Trudy again. Carlton, and we seem to put sometimes so much emphasis on diabetes, pressure, fat, and all those other things that can cause kidney problems. But there are some people who never had diabetes, never had pressure.
Yeah, but they had another underlying medical condition that actually caused their kidneys to go bad. So they may not have had, for example, somebody could have had an accident. Somebody could have an accident. Somebody could have had a major infection that could have caused their kidneys to go bad. So it's not only caused by diabetes or hypertension. There could be other factors that could cause the kidneys to go bad.
Yeah, and there's also other factors that somebody have a chronic pain or something, and they may be taking some kind of medication.
Medication. Now we'll talk about that. Yes, that's true.
That pain,
and that can cause kidney failure.
Causing them to get that kidney failure also.
Right. That's very true. Yes, that's very, very true. And
there's another thing. Sometimes a person wants to pee, and they say, "Boy, my bladder bursting."
Yes.
What is the can you explain the kidney and the bladder for me? Because Tudy maybe know more about that because she studied, what you call it?
Biology.
Biology.
Yes, I did biology too, but but Tudy can answer.
Yes, so and tell me something about that because I want to know the difference between your kidney and your bladder. What are the real functions of your bladder?
Good.
If it's just to hold the pee.
Yes.
All right, then take it easy.
Definitely.
Yes, thank you for that question because people might be wondering too. Mm-hmm. So the kidneys are the two organs we're discussing. They filter the blood, mm-hmm. they make the urine, and leading from the kidneys, we have two tubes called ureters, and those ureters lead to the bladder. Now the bladder is in your pelvic area, so right mm-hmm. above your genital tract. Mm-hmm. And the bladder now is like a sack, a bag. All it's doing is storing the urine. It has an amazing capacity of stretching. Mm-hmm. So the bladder is made, how the bladder is structured, it can stretch. But of course, anything that can stretch like a balloon, it can also overstretch. Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. you know, there is a limit to how much stretching it can do. But the bladder is simply a bag to hold urine, a structure to hold urine, and it needs to be emptied periodically so that bag does not burst. So when people talk about they holding the urine and or they not peeing and their bladder is bursting, that is a real thing. You know, the bladder is not there to store urine permanently. The bladder must be emptied. And as when we become an adult, we can control the emptying of the bladder. Of course, we know as a baby that control is not there. So the urine just exits. And then when we get old, we return, you know, to having lower control of mm-hmm. emptying the bladder. But the bladder is just a storage mm-hmm. Bag for urine.
And that's a very, I love the explanation that you gave. But even more so too, because it's the storage area, if pee is retained so much, you know, you keep on doing that all the time, what you're going to find, you're going to end up having calcification. Mm. If you look at, you know, the days when we used to pee in tinsel, as it was called, and you would leave the pee there for a long time, you would begin to see that it's beginning to make a ring around the tinsel. Mm. And you begin to see like the crystals, like salt residue. Mm. So that could actually begin to happen in the bladder, and you could end up having stones.
Bladder stones.
Both in the bladder and in the kidneys too. And the other thing too, you are more likely to get secondary infections, so bladder infections or, you know, urinary tract infections. And people have to go to the pee to pee many, many times. And when they do go, very little urine comes out and they get burning because the infection causes an inflammation of the ureter. That's the ureter. So that tube that leads from the kidney to the bladder, that the infection causes that tube to get severely inflamed and would cause the discomfort and the pain. And sometimes it even causes secondary bleeding. So you might see blood in your urine, and that's why your doctor would say we need to do a urine test, and then we to check for infections and all of that. So it is not a good practice to hold your urine. It's something I used to do before, and I have really stopped it, because as we get older, then we are more susceptible to secondary infections and even other complications. So do not hold your pee for long periods of time, as you are more likely to get infections and to develop stones. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Good morning to you, Mr. Lander, and good morning to your member.
My co-host.
Good morning. Mr. Lander, you know that person you've seen the other day, the funeral of Mistress Wellena, great empress from River Nicker.
Yes.
Now, you have a great program, and what the hell, we had a little reason in some Rastaman talking about that thing. You see the kidney, really and truly. Well, you look at, I call my brother Bibbs in America. He tell me Blue was supposed to be a doctor because she have a little sense. I know about Blue. I was still a politician. But she have a little sense. It's a good thing. Blue can't be political. We don't come in the health department. But anyhow, no, we talk about the kidney problem, the kidneys, real and truly. But you know something? You know, these people know a lot of young girls and young boys in the Caribbean, real and truly, drink a whole lot of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about it. And I know alcohol destroying your kidney. You know what I'm saying? Alcohol destroying your kidney. Either smoke winter vegetables. Cigarette is another one again.
Mm-hmm.
Destroying your kidney. You know what I'm saying? So really and truly now, as the other would say, when you're healthy, you can be wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're wealthy, not healthy, you're going to crash. So you have to love life. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
Really and truly now, the things the people then doing to themselves, they hurt their own self. They say you can live with one kidney. Even when you pass, you could pass your kidney to other people. But at the end of the day, your kidney, as the doctor say, the sister say, and Blue, with a doctor, I respect her same way. You know, the kidney, while giving all the energy, it's like your immune system. It's bringing all the blood to all over your body. So obviously, you have to know how you're eating, what you're eating, what you're doing, what you're practicing with your life. You have to love your life. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
So, really and truly, I have a problem with them people who are drinking alcohol night and day and not eating healthy. They don't realize that they destroy also their kidney and other parts in their body.
Mm-hmm.
So, really and truly, you have to love life. You know what I'm saying? So,
that's
Mr.
it.
Mr. Lander, I see you the other day. You're a great man. I love you.
Thank you, sir.
You know what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
I appreciate
Blue,
that.
With the political ring, come in the health department. I love you, Blue, also. Up and running. Fireman running, give thanks, bless up my brother.
Thank you. And I'm glad that he raised the risk factor of smoking, because many times when we have mentioned smoking, and even you would have discussions with people about smoking, whether it's first hand smoking or secondary hand smoke, they will talk about lung cancer. But you can also get kidney cancer from smoking. There is a particular cancer called renal cell carcinoma, and that cancer is primarily caused by smoking, whether it's secondhand smoke or primary hand smoke. So if you're a big smoker, you can actually develop renal cell carcinoma. And the bad thing about this particular cancer, it does not respond to radiation nor chemotherapy. So it is one of those very dangerous cancers that has no cure. And guess what? This is the cancer that killed my sister at 27 years old. Right? She was never a smoker, but she was exposed to secondhand smoke. And so renal cell carcinoma, this is the name of that particular cancer that basically affects the kidneys. And as I said, it does not respond to neither chemotherapy nor radiation. So it is important to remember that smoking, and we were just getting, smoking
mm-hmm.
can actually cause kidney cancer.
Kidney disease.
Now,
yeah.
Blue mentioned about medications.
Yes.
And that is another important very, point. Very right within my alley.
Yes.
Medications are good. Medications are useful. I don't think any one of us, I've never experienced a toothache. Never. But for, I have dealt with people that have toothache. I've seen grown men cry in front of me from toothache. And I've heard people's women say that toothache is worse than child pain. I've never experienced it. But think of you taking two pills and within 30 minutes, all the pain is gone and you can smile again. So medications are useful. But if they are misused and abused, they can be detrimental and they can affect the kidney. Why? Because the kidney is one of the main organs that break down or metabolize medications. The kidney, the liver, the gut. These areas of the body are the three main areas that break down medications. And many of the medicines that we take, particularly medicines that are painkillers, when we drink our protein shake, when we go to the gym and we mix in our protein, our creatine and all of that, these powders, they too, they can put a lot of strain on the kidneys. So a lot of the guys that are gymming and are lifting weights and are using multiple protein powders and, you know, mixing up different brands and taking them how many times a day, they are putting their kidneys at risk.
But Carlton, in terms of medications, whilst we're on this point, mm-hmm. what prescription medications may be common? Because I know sometimes there are medications that are prescribed, but the doctor will say that you have to monitor your kidney function whilst on this medication. So you have to do kidney blood work to monitor your kidney function every year or so on. What are some of those medications that people are on?
Good question. So if you're taking steroids,
okay.
Let's say you're taking prednisone, hydrocortisone. If you're taking medications for seizures, you do liver function tests, function tests. If you're taking hypertension medications, mm-hmm. yes, that these medicines are going to help to control your blood pressure, but they can also, because of the breaking down process of these drugs in the body, they can put strain on the kidneys as well. Mm-hmm. If you're taking medications to treat certain fungus infections, certain antibiotics as well. Mm-hmm. So there are many cancer medicines too. If you're taking cancer, or what we call neoplastic medications, these medicines too, if you're on these, you would have to do regular kidney function and liver function tests. The doctors would be looking at the levels and see how, you know, because that is, these tests are done not just to look at the integrity or the typical function of your kidneys, but they also help doctors in making wiser decisions relating to your dosage.
The drug, yeah.
The dosage. So they would know whether to titrate or decrease on the dose of the medicine, whether to stop the medicine entirely and use something else, or whether they have latitude to increasing the dose of the medicine based on the outcome that they want the medicine to do.
To have, yeah.
So it's very important that if you have the requisition to have these tests done, that they are done.
Right, it's a checks and balances system, right, yes, right, yes, right.
Yes. So that is very, very critical.
I think, Carlton, that's very important, you know, because you might be on the medication and people might, you might get that, you know, requisition to do a kidney function test or whatever, and you might say, oh, I'm on that medication already. Why do it?
Yes.
But as you clearly explain in here, and I really hope people are listening to that explanation, it's a system of, if you check, something can be modified if that check shows that something is up with the kidney, you know, so you can modify the drug dosage, even on that drug or a different one instead. So I think that is very important. I know a lot of people ignoring doctors' advice to do certain tests all the time.
And there are drugs that has what we call a narrow therapeutic index. These drugs are drugs that basically, if the dosages are not managed properly under regimen as to how frequently they are taken, they can cause toxicity in the bloodstream. And so, like, if you're taking drugs like valproic acid, digoxin, thyroxine for thyroid problems, you're taking carbamazepine or tegretol, you're taking the barbiturates, phenobarbitone, all these drugs, the olefium, they have narrow therapeutic index, and you have to do these tests at least every 4 months. Your doctor would have to check your levels to be able to look at the dosage of this drug that they are treating you on. And so the rationale is important when you are given these requisitions to have them done. Painkillers, particularly the NSAIDs, naproxen, diclofenac, indomethacin, aspirin, these drugs, the paracetamol, these drugs are good drugs, but if they are misused, they can certainly affect your kidneys. The time is going, so we want to run fast. Who should have their kidneys checked? So how often? So if you're above the age of 60 years, it is recommended that you should have your kidneys checked if you've not had it done in a good while. If you were born with a low birth rate, so you were maybe born premature, you may have to do that from time to time.
Low birth weight.
Yes. You may have to do that. If you have cardiovascular diseases, so you're hypertensive, you have high cholesterol, the doctor told you your heart is enlarged, one of your ventricles maybe is blocked, XYZ, again, you are a candidate to have your kidney function test. If there is a high family history of high blood pressure, you want to check that. If you are obese, you want to be checking your kidneys often. Or if there is blood in your urine, that too, you might see blood in your urine, or you may recognize that your urine is changing color to very dark yellow or orange or even brown in color. So you find that your urine looking almost like a brownish color. It could be light brown or chocolate brown. This is a big, big, big sign that something is not going right in your kidneys and would require further assessment through blood tests, through urinalysis, through even sometimes radiological imagery such as CT scan and even maybe sometimes MRI, so they can look at the nerves of the kidneys. But these are very important to be monitoring. We really don't want you to be losing your kidneys and have to be dialyzed. However, we still want you to be dialyzed if your kidneys have failed. Dialysis does not mean that you're going to die. A lot of times people get that phobia that when they're told that your kidneys have failed and the next step would be to be on dialysis, some people get really anxious and they get flustered to the point where they just give up and they just tell themselves they prefer die. But I have known of people, we know of Mr. Bruno, he has been on our show, has been on dialysis for more than 20 years and is still alive. I have an aunt in the US that have been on dialysis for many, many years, more than, I think, maybe 15 years, and she is still alive. So there are many people who are being dialyzed at the moment and they are alive. So do not think that you were told that your kidneys have failed and we have to put you on dialysis to just think you want to give up and you want to just die. There is this option. It is working. It has been working for many, many years. You will make new friends. You will meet people along the same journey as you are, and they will be encouraging you. They'll be holding your hand. So let us take care of our kidneys. Let us do everything in our power to ensure that our kidneys are taken care of. So again, let us reduce the prevalence of smoking, or let us just stop smoking entirely. You have to look at, what is the benefit? Why am I smoking? Why am I smoking so frequently? Reduce on your alcohol consumption, the amount of alcohol that you're consuming. Exercise, as we mentioned. Look at your diet. Try to avoid foods that are laden in salt, high sugars as well. Foods that are laden in high levels of potassium and protein. Yes, protein is good. Yes, potassium helps to regulate the blood pressure. But if you take too much potassium, then that can actually even cause the arteries of the heart to become a bit hardened. So everything, as they say, is in moderation. Mm-hmm. We want you to live a healthy life. We want you to remember that really and truly, that a life that is sustained with good health and wellness practices means you may more than likely have a longer life, and a life that would not consume too much of your life savings in medical.
The trips, quality of
yes,
life.
Yes, the vacation trips that you want to go on, those cruises that you want to go on. You want to go to see Alaska. You want to go to the Panama Canal. You want to have this fun. You really want to take care of yourself right now. And as we're on that, before we leave truly, let me again admonish all our young people. You have a job. You have a serious job. You've been appointed in your job. While you are young and you do not have no medical conditions that you know of, begin to consider health insurance. Begin to consider health insurance. It is very, very, very important. You may not have $20,000 in your account, but if you have health insurance, sometimes it can cover you all up to $1 million. Money that you did not have in your pocket, it can now be spent to take care of yourself. So that $150 that maybe you would just spend putting top up, or you know, going to a bar and just drink or do something, you know, carefree, you can now take that $150 and decide, you know what, I'm going to pay my premium with that monthly. It will take care of my dental, my eyes, surgeries, accidents, medical labs, all of that. Your health insurance policy can help pay for. I have a health insurance policy. I want you to have one as well, because guess what? You just never know. You may need to be airlift out of Dominica. So make sure that your policy also includes an emergency ambulance. That if you have to be moved out of Dominica to Trinidad, to Wales, they will take you there. And again, most of it will be covered by your insurance.
Yes, Carlton. The last thing I was going to say about the kidneys, but you're already ending with the good advice there, so I don't even know if to go back on the kidneys again. But once we started with the position of the kidneys, I just wanted to advise people, if you feel pain in the location that we just mentioned, your lower back, and also maybe if you have a fever along with that pain, it is very important to think that might be a kidney issue, a kidney infection,
true,
and get that checked out. That is the last thing I wanted to say. But the insurance advice, Carlton, I think they could put you on any any of the insurance companies' shows, because that advice you gave is solid.
Definitely. So, as always, it was our pleasure sitting in with you for yet another episode of Health Vibes, as we are so happy that you listen to us. Next week, we will be talking about all smiles,
oral health.
Oral health. Next week is Oral Health Week. Yes. We'll be having the team with us. I hope that my teeth will be as polished that I can advertise it online. I can advertise it online that you can see my all 42 pearlies. But we'll be talking Oral Health Week next week.
Yes.
And they will be here. You can ask all the questions relating to your oral care and oral health. As always, your health is indeed your greatest resource. Preserve it. Have a good morning, everybody, and remember, of the week. Take care of yourself, and let me just say that our loved one, our doodoo darling, Hermia, our past employee, she will be laid to rest tomorrow afternoon. The service will be at the People's Pentecostal Church in Goodwill. Viewing starts at 1 p.m., funeral begins at 2 p.m., and then the interment at the public cemetery in Roseau. Again, our condolences goes out to the family and friends of our loved one, Hermia Joseph. May she rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan-Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30.